Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, featuring the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, longtime Bucks beat writer, and of course now esteemed columnist on JoeBucksFan.com. The Ira Kaufman podcast, man, it's just blowing up left and right. So excited for Ira to get to his 10,000 mark. 10,000 downloads per episode. It's coming. We're excited. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper from JoeBucksFan.com is with us today. And of course, Ira himself, as we broadcast here from One Buck Palace. We're taping before in advance, obviously, since this pops Thursday morning. And we got all kinds of great stuff out of the OTA practice, all of Ira's impressions. But first, Ira's podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. And Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon Morse, has more. During the Memorial Day sales event all month long, get more selection and more customer benefits at Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon. Right now, you can drive off in a 2017 XT5 luxury crossover for only $399 a month, zero down. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon to get more, or click edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Of course, see the dealer for all the details. These great offers run all month long, so get over to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And then, hey, we cannot forget Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and edmorsecadillactampa.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa is just west of I-275 off Fletcher. I personally have bought two vehicles there in the last few years, including my daughter's car. Just so pleased with everything about Ed Morse. Morse has more during the Memorial Day sales event. Hurry in and take advantage of these limited-time holiday offers, like a new 2017 ATS sedan, just $359, zero down at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. Like we said, see dealer for all the details. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, we can't say enough about them. Ira, of course, is always decked out in his Ed Morse Cadillac gear. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Brandon wearing his hats, his shirts, and we're full supporters of everything Ed Morse does, all their great initiatives in the community as well. And we thank them profusely. And of course, if you're listening on iTunes or Podbean, leave a review for the podcast. It's nice to have a nice review out there. Ira enjoys the feedback. So do we. And it also helps balance out a couple of the negative idiots that have written some nasty things on there. But leave a review. Come on. You can do it. It takes about 2 seconds right there on iTunes or Podbean. No problem. Primarily iTunes, where most of our readers are. So, Mr. Kaufman, again, we're live at One Buck Palace. We're going to jump right into this, Ira, because a lot going on today. Jameis talking. First OTA, a real underwear football practice where nobody hits anybody, and we're supposed to evaluate running plays when nobody can block anybody. So it's fantastic stuff.
You got Super Bowls coming out of Chicago, overtime changes coming out of Chicago. A lot going on.
Of course, you're here. Lee DeKemper is back. I know you wanted to scold him on his attendance, so I'll give you 5 seconds to scold him for missing last podcast.
No, I can't scold him because that pilot light that went out in his car cost him a pretty penny. So I got to sympathize with DeKemper here. And, you know, he had to offer up a little coin for that. So, Lee, I give you a pass for Tuesday's podcast. Oh,
thank you. Pilot light, I like that reference. Old school gas stove.
We had a parade of players today.
Well, Ira, it's
good to see guys out there, underwear football, Lee. Underwear
all right, football. Look, Ira, enough of this. Let's get right to it, all right?
Because you're not wasting any time.
No,
today.
Because this is a serious day here. You can smell the football season. Now, all the fans out there listening, it's May, Memorial Day weekend's coming up. They're not thinking about
now
football.
When you say the clock's ticking, it really takes on a
But we're thinking there. Football because we just got to watch all this stuff unfold before our eyes, and I'm going to go right to
What's
it.
What's on your mind, Steve?
Because you can underwear football at all you like, but when the kicker steps up and absolutely stinks, and Aguayo walks up there and misses 3 out of 4, and then Nick Falk walks up and hits 4 out of 4, your impressions, your feelings, your gut, you heard the pin drop silence on that practice field today.
My response is, I don't care if it's May 23rd, 25th, 26th, or whatever, Lee, it all counts. It all counts. Certainly, Dirk Cutter didn't miss the result of it. It all goes into the mix. And you got to wonder what this is going to do to Aguayo's mindset going forward. Kid lost his confidence last season. He didn't gain any confidence so far in his OTA sessions. Lee, he's behind the eight ball already. And you guys think he's got to outkick Folk. If it's close, they're going to go with Folk. I'm not sure you're wrong about that. Second round pick or not, that's not going to matter. come at the end of training camp when they got to make that decision. Who gives them the best chance to win? That's the only thing that's going to factor in. Who gives Dirk Cutter the best chance to end that 9-year playoff drought and a very rocky start for Mr. Arguello?
We've got to clarify, and I agree with you guys. I'm not saying it was not good. It was bad. But we got to clarify. They were using what they call the skinny field goal posts.
The narrow goal posts. So whatever they are, it is a narrow, probably half the width, I'll guess.
At least.
And a little windy out there.
It was a little windy, but here's the thing. Folks' kicks were split right between the uprights, like bullseyes.
In other words, they didn't enlarge the goal posts when Folk was getting ready to kick the ball.
And one of the misses was Arguello hit the upright for whatever. What's that worth?
Yes. this is great.
Steve.
We're sitting here talking kicking battle.
Steve, he is known for his pinpoint accuracy.
Arguello.
From that yardage out. That's why he's a buck.
So it was he was kicking from 30, 35, and the last one was 40. There were four kicks.
The guy never misses.
There were four kicks.
Until he got
and
here.
And I can't emphasize enough, and you guys have watched tons of practice. Obviously, Ira, you go back 73 years watching football practice. Have you ever heard a practice field during a special teams period that quiet after Arguello approached his fourth kick? I was looking at everybody else, and special teams session, that's when they sort of go half-assed, except for the guys kicking. Nobody's trying to block it. Everybody else is drinking water and watching and
BSing. And fans in training camp are going to get a Coke.
Exactly.
Not this year.
But you know what? Every player on that team and staff member I'm looking at, you couldn't hear a thing. They're just like couldn't stun disbelief that Arguello missed 3 out of 4. And I'm telling you, the players know. We know, the players know, like, what the heck's going on? And then they watch Folk just drill them all, and Gerald McCoy, I saw him pump his fist when the fourth one went through.
I can crazy. See DeKemper with his little pamphlet, keeping very close track of every Arguello shank and what Folk's doing. This is a whole new meaning going into training camp, Lee. This is like the number one thing fans are going to be watching.
You may be right. You absolutely. I can't disagree with that.
I can't remember ever a buck training camp with this kind of interest in the kicking game.
I was going to ask you about that, Ira. Do you ever remember, two kickers where reporters are actually taking notes in underwear football at the skinny posts?
Well, I mean, it's Steve, it's the drama of moving up in the draft. That's what's driving this whole thing. If Arguello was a fifth-round pick, nobody would
care.
If
he was a fifth-round pick, he would have been here for 8 games last year. He wouldn't still be here.
Obviously, Steve and I have only been covering the Bucks for, 8 years?
So 10th season,
yes, but we've been credentialed for practices for roughly 8, maybe. But usually when again, it's underwear football, it's a closed practice except for media availability. People are just, they're twiddling their thumbs. They're not even paying attention to the kickers.
They're going to buy a cheerleader calendar.
Admirable.
And you're in line ahead of them, DeKemper. It's the audacity. There's your first word of the day. It's the audacity of what Jason Light did on draft day, last year. That's what's driving this whole thing.
Well, I got to take it a step further. Now, again, we're here, so we're delivering the passion and the intensity of the moment, and I can't express enough how, holy crap, soap opera city, first practice. You couldn't write a better script.
And DeKemper's putting headlines on it already. Can you imagine what's going to happen in August?
Well, here's where I'm taking this, Ira. Lee wants your point as well. Now, Roberto Arguello, if this continues, obviously he's got a little bit of a mental thing maybe still going on, and his team is wondering, does he make it to training camp if he doesn't kick that well during the spring? Because I believe they do want competition. I believe they do want the best kickers out there. Does he make it that far? You think that's in jeopardy, Ira?
I think you're taking it too far, Isbitz, which is your normal procedure. I understand that. to think that Aguayo's not going to make it to one buck place July 28th. That's mind-boggling, Lee. There's going to be another competitor to Nick Folk, and to say it's not going to be Arguello, I just can't believe it. I don't care how bad he does in OTAs. Lee, the guy deserves a chance in training camp.
Especially for the investment they have in him. I agree with you, Ira. I can't see him not making it to August, much less July 28th. Like you said, if nothing else, even though he's shanking kicks right and left, theoretically, hypothetically, it's still competition for Nick Folk. And that was the only reason Nick Folk was in here. Obviously, to light a fire under Aguayo, but Jason Light publicly always used the word competition, competition, competition. And he regretted not getting competition for Aguayo last year. So I can't imagine him turning loose Aguayo.
Well, cutting a guy before training camp starts, Steve. Boy, your mind's working overtime, baby.
It's not overtime. I don't think... That it's obviously way too early. Throwing it out.
You had a bad day.
Just throwing it out there. You had a bad day.
And you know what? You had a lot of bad days in 2016.
And Cutter was great saying, well, this is the drawback of having the media out at spring.
He was laughing about that, too. Yeah.
But you know what? The reason we're out here is to inform the fans what's going on. That's what drives the passion of fans, knowing what's going on 24/7. So, you know, the heck with Coach Cutter. We're here at $1. Screw that, Coach. We're here because the fans want to know. And we love the team. And he gets that. It just was a bad day for Mr. Aguayo. Man.
All right, the stick carriers are going to be out in force, Lee. They are going to be out in force you love this saying August. That. The stick carriers, and they, above anybody else, are totally into this so-called competition between Folk and Aguayo.
Well, I got a couple things for you here, Ira, and I want your response on both of these. You bring up stick carriers. I was going to bring up something else that fans will be interested in, and I can still get to that. But you bring up stick carriers. Saturday, I was out at Jameis's his youth camp.
At Sun Lake, that's right.
Sun Lake High School. It's about 20 minutes from where I live.
Land O'Lakes.
At Land O'Lakes, yeah. And Jameis really didn't have anything to say outside of his camp, which is like ho-hum. At any rate, I sat and talked with Jameis's dad for about 20 minutes, his mom for about 10 minutes, but I sat with them and talked to them, and Antonor, he knows me, you know, obviously I'm a Joe Bucks fan. He told me, he goes, I want to make sure, you know, you tell Ira and you tell Justin I listen to the podcast and whatnot. And when he mentioned Justin's name, and we're not deviating too much here, he goes, you tell him I'm a stick carrier. The only difference is I carry and use my own stick.
You know, Steve, the commish didn't know what he was getting into once he started with the stick carrier.
Well, for those a little bit in the dark, of course, Dirk Cutter's famous phrase after the Kansas City game when he rallied the troops post-game, and he said, remember, speak softly, carry a big MF stick, and that became the rallying cry for the rabid fan base known as the stick carriers. There's thousands of stick carriers out there. What you're talking about is the stick carrier takeover day of training camp. That's coming once the training camp dates are announced.
It will be a sight to behold, Mr. DeCamper.
Oh, my gosh.
You can just imagine.
When the training camp dates are announced, then shortly afterwards on Bucks Uncensored, Justin Pulaski will announce the stick carrier takeover day. We'll be promoting it all out. It's going to be
Are you expecting
wild.
People from out of state again, just like the party?
Justin Pulaski already has had people reaching out to him. Hey, please let me know the date as soon as you can so I can get that flight in to be a training
flight in.
Takeovers, stick carrier takeover day. I predict, Ira, this will be a fan base changing moment.
An unprecedented training camp day?
Basically a life-changing, franchise-changing moment for anyone in attendance on that day. Because it will take Bucks fandom to a new level. Stuff that we look at, maybe look at Steelers fans or Packers fans.
The towels, the crazy towels.
And wonder, why is that not us? Well, you know what? You want to go to training camp takeover day.
And how will Joe Bucks fan be treated at takeover day?
Well, you'll be
exalted.
You'll be serenaded with Chants of Ira.
Is that word again? Exalted.
I know you love Chants of Ira, especially when they happen in your home. I know you've told us that before.
Free hot dog for DeCamper, at the very least, right? I mean, maybe a cheerleader calendar, perhaps, to go along with
autographed.
Free hot dog? Come on. We can afford hot dogs.
Now, Lee, what's this other story you were trying to get to it a little bit?
Well, obviously, the drama with Folk and Aguayo intrigues a lot of people. And there are some people out there like, yawn, kicker, move, turn the page. DeSean Jackson, I saw two plays today, and I put this out on Twitter. Kind of a taste of things to come. There was one play where Jameis rifled the ball to Jackson on the right sideline, one-on-one coverage with Hargraves. Not much happened out of it, but it just caught my, okay, he's trying to get Jackson one-on-one out in space. I saw that. It was very near the right sideline on the line of scrimmage. And I guess maybe 20 minutes later, the exact same play, only this time, half the freaking defense raced over there. It's like, oh, Jackson, like the first time, like, oh, he was on single coverage. The second time, Mike Smith wasn't going to get buffaloed again, and half the defense was over there. Jackson was getting, I just thought that was rather interesting that quickly he made his impression
Absolutely.
Upon Mike Smith's defense. Like, wow.
And you know what's funny about this Hargrave situation? They want him to be more aggressive. and make more plays on the ball, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he had a bad rookie year. He had a pretty decent rookie season. You didn't hear his name a lot, which is very good mm-hmm. for a rookie yes. corner. But they want him more involved, more tipped passes, more interceptions. I understand that. But the word aggressive, you know, belly up to the receiver and this and that, of all guys that you're picking, DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's the guy that you do play 10 yards off.
Well, I tell you what, if he can handle
DeSean. It's very ironic.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if he can somehow master that against DeSean Jackson, look out the rest of the NFC South.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to try to
but
learn
you know
to
what
do
I
that,
mean, you belly up on a possession receiver.
Yeah, not DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, and Cutter made that point that, hey, you know, it's OTAs. We told Hargraves to get up on him, and Jackson sees, well, I got this guy up on me. I can beat anybody in the league.
He's not staying with me.
Let me go. So it was interesting.
I just thought that was so funny. Like, the first time, the only guy near DeSean Jackson was Hargraves. The only guy near. He gets, you know, if this is real football, DeSean Jackson's gone. The second time, like I said, Mike Smith, you're not going to do that to me again. And half the freaking defense is on that side of the field racing to DeSean Jackson.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I got out of some of the interviews today, and something that you and I talked about in Tuesday's podcast, where we kind of downplayed the word mentor with Fitzpatrick, how much he could rub off on Winston off the field. Well, from what I could tell today, mostly from Winston's comments, Lee, I think Jameis Winston is totally embracing the experience that Fitzpatrick's bringing. I think it's a beautiful thing from a Buck perspective.
More than embracing, he was almost saying, you know, this is great for me, but I have to throw a butt in here. Were those prearranged talking points or not?
I understand that. I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I know you in the podcast, you danced the line, shall we say. You didn't want to say mentor, and I agreed that mentor thing is way overblown.
All we said was he can help.
He could nurture.
Nurture,
he could teach. I made the point that, you know what, if Fitzpatrick can show Jameis four film things all year and it leads to one touchdown, then it's well worth it. Jameis would celebrate that like it was the best thing ever. I think
Winston is genuine in this regard. Generally, I think he's genuine because the players would see through him if he wasn't, Lee.
Sure.
And I think that's true. But even in this regard with Fitzpatrick, I think Winston is genuine in that he's got a lot to learn. And I think he knows it. Mm-hmm. And Fitzpatrick with 116 starts, certainly particular knowledge on teams like the Dolphins, the Patriots, you know, certainly being with the Jets the last few mm-hmm. years, and their current personnel. I think Winston's genuine in this regard about soaking up the knowledge of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, Steve, one thing that I needled Fitzpatrick, I must have asked him three different times, didn't get the answer I wanted.
But the beard?
No, not about the beard, Steve, but about the realization at some point during this offseason that, you know what, I'm not a starter anymore in this league. I'm not a starter. And I think that's a tough one for a guy with 116 starts that 2 years ago was leading the Jets to a 10-5 record.
Garbage, Ira. Come
not
on,
garbage,
man.
Because when you look around the league,
listen,
Lee, you see starting quarterbacks that I think
Fitzpatrick
thinks he's better than.
I'm telling you this. Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, okay? He knows that with all of his Harvard wisdom, he's got one winning season in the NFL. He's not a good starting quarterback. He knows he stinks.
Played for a lot of bad teams, Steve.
Well, maybe that's part of it because he's not a quarterback who can win games.
Transcendent.
He's got one winning season. Now, he's explained to us that, you know what, I went into most of my starting opportunities, I went in there as a backup, including in Buffalo, including in with the Jets when he had that great season. So he knows the deal. I get all fired up.
Well, wait
he's
a
not
minute.
A good quarterback.
The Geno Smith thing, with Geno Smith, he's going to get the job if Smith's ineffective, which as it turned out to be. Here it's got to be injury-related, certainly.
Yeah. He has no prayer.
Only injury-related.
To wrap it up on this, on Jameis, I asked Jameis about Fitzpatrick today, and he said, look, I'm a learner.
Yes,
I'm
he did.
I'm a learner.
I'm a learner.
That's what he said. I'm a learner. And that is who Jameis is. He's shown that many, many times. And you know what? Because I asked him, I said, hey, Fitzpatrick said he's going to volunteer all kinds of stuff to you, and if you don't like it, you'll tell him to shut up. And Jameis said, I'm a learner. I wouldn't do that. And I thought one thing that was telling when Jameis said, the only way you last a long time in the league is if you're a really nice guy and a good guy, good person. And I got the feeling, seeing through that, Jameis probably made a lot of calls around the league about this guy and heard a lot of good things and thought, you know what, I'll trust him.
But to your point, you were talking about Jameis was genuine when he was talking about Fitzpatrick. was there ever a time that you thought Jameis was disingenuous?
Well, yes. When he says everybody's amazing. Yeah, you know, well, that's his favorite word. He loves that word.
I was going to get to that. But I mean, honestly, I mean, he says that because he doesn't want to throw anybody under the bus. That, you know, he's trying to be a good teammate. But and that's a form of being genuine. But, yeah, I never got an impression Jameis was not genuine about something.
Yeah.
But here's what do you think about this, Ira? You know, obviously you saw Cutter raving about Godwin. And then I think it was Jenna Lane asked him about him being Jameis, asked Jameis about Godwin. Like you
called
said.
Him amazing.
Yeah, and the Hollywood actress, a starlet, the 18-year-old starlet. Oh, it's an amazing producer, an amazing script, and an amazing actress as I work. And then I pinned him. I said, you know, you're saying he's amazing. Well, give me some specifics. And he went into some specifics. Like, hey, it's not stage isn't too big for him. He came prepared. He was producing in practice. And after Cutter had raved about Godwin and then Jameis saying this, made me think, interesting.
Well,
I know it's one practice.
We don't want, you can't read too much into OTAs, Steve. Otherwise,
sure you can.
You're a fool, Steve. You're a fool. You're a fool if you read too much into it. Aguayo could have a great, rest of the OTAs. Could. And make up some ground on Folk.
A couple things. Sure. The kicking battle is far from over.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost comical, but it is real. It is real, and you know that everybody here at One Buck outside our room here is talking about
it. I think it's
upstairs.
One of the few competitive situations on this team. Let's be honest.
No, Batman running back.
There's lots of competition here. Ira, looky, we're just talking about Chris Godwin. If he's the real deal, he's got more speed, more athleticism than Mr. Humphreys. He's going to get on the field. This team's about win right now.
And if there's a double tight end on the field, then Godwin's time will be reduced significantly because nobody's kicking Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson out.
I wanted to say this. I do think Jameis has been disingenuous many times to us. You know, when he says he loves this guy, and he'll defend every guy, even no matter how.
I asked him about an injury. He goes, I don't even remember the play.
Exactly. Doesn't remember the play and everything's his fault, and you know he's very John Gruden-esque in the fact that he loves everybody, and that's fine. That's Jameis, but I don't think he's an open book,
but
blunt guy.
I mean genuine in his passion.
Yeah, oh,
no
sure.
Question about that. No question about
sure.
That.
Oh no, absolutely. And it's no knock on Jameis, just who he is. If you're on his team, you know he loves you to the death. You're his brother, your family, all that stuff. We've all heard him say that.
Ira, you brought up Aguayo again, so I got to go back to this. Are you suggesting if Aguayo is perfect the rest of OTAs that he could still be selling refrigerators come September?
No, but it'll get him to training camp, which is something that that Isbitz is a little questionable about.
I wouldn't go to the window at Vegas and put some money on that.
What'd you think of Jameis's answer? I asked him the Vegas question. I did. He said a lot of euphoria around here. A lot of enthusiasm, and Jameis is well aware.
He said Vegas is wrong all the time.
Vegas wrong all the time.
Great answer. Perfect answer.
That's a very good answer.
Perfect answer. About Godwin, I think it's an important little tactical thing that Dirk Cutter explained, but very, very important. And it also goes to O.J. Howard, too. Cutter explained that the plays that they installed and ran today in today's practice, number one of the OTAs, the rookies learned that exact same install for rookie minicamp. So Godwin came to the table fully prepared with 2-3 weeks of prep on the install, whereas the veterans were coming in. This is our first day. So Cutter said, well, give it 2-3 practices, then we'll be out of the rookie minicamp install, and then the rookies will have their eyes open like, oh, my gosh, I got to know everything right away. So even Cutter said, hey, give it 3 practices on the rookies. That said, O.J. Howard didn't look anywhere near as poised and polished and ready as Mr. Godwin did.
Which is what Cutter referenced as well.
Yeah.
That's why that caught my attention when Cutter was saying that. You know, Cutter's not a BS kind of guy. And so when he was saying about Godwin, okay.
Didn't look like DeSean Jackson looks like he's shaken and bewildered about Coach Munkin's comments about earning your $11 million salary. I think he figures it comes with the territory.
Oh, Mr. Kaufman, defensively...
Is there anything I'm going to say that you're going to agree with?
I agree with a lot of what you say. All right, plenty. Don't be so adversarial.
So you were okay with DeSean Jackson's answer, or you think it was disingenuous?
Honestly, I was typing up something. Come in for Mr. Jackson. I had heard him speak when he was signed. I know he's a long-winded, interesting, engaging speaker, but I didn't want to see that.
He's a confident player, Lee. He's a confident player.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, confident.
Look, he's put 10 years in this league, and he's established himself as one of the, if not the, most dangerous deep threats in this league. You know, you go by yards per catch. That's big. That's what Vincent Jackson did during his glory days. Average 17, 18 yards. Very unusual. You know, you got Mike Evans, you know, averaging 13, 14. It's a difference. Jackson's very confident in his abilities. Todd Monken ain't going to get to DeSean Jackson's psyche.
All right, Ira, it's May. It's underwear football. And, of course, when it is underwear football and coming up on Memorial Day and Great Savings, I'm always going to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Or I open up edmorescadillactampa.com and edmorescadillacbrandon.com. The Memorial Day savings at both locations all the way through the end of the month. Fantastic stuff that we talked about earlier. Now, Kaufman, Lee, just give me a short answer if it's nothing. Anything stand out to you defensively on the field today from the defense? I know Lee referenced Hargraves and his battle there a little bit with DeSean Jackson. Anything defensively at all?
I thought McCoy, which is typical for McCoy, very, very animated. Very, very animated today. Very stylized in all his movements. I don't know if he's showing off for the media, for his players, but he's another guy with a tremendous amount of passion for football. Lee, he's, you know, he's like an animal burst from a cage. Here he is out here able to do his stuff. I thought McCoy's energy level was very, very strong for a day one. And not surprising.
Nothing really jumped out at me about the defense outside of the second time, as I referenced earlier, when DeSean Jackson, when Jameis was trying to get him one-on-one, half the Bucs defense just raced over there to help out. I just thought that jumped out of my mind.
Was Chris Iverson Baker today? I've already given him a nickname.
Iverson.
Chris Iverson Baker doesn't like to practice.
Yeah, great irony that of all the people not here on at OTAs, day one, voluntary OTA,
is
the guy that you found out in Phoenix from important people.
A heavy hitter in Washington.
Doesn't like to practice, and here he is. He's one of the no-shows. Maybe he's got a great reason, great excuse, but goodness gracious, he's not here. As soon as I realized that, I'm like, Ira just wrote that the guy doesn't like to practice.
You know, there's voluntarily, but, you know, those of us, all three of us have watched this organization for a long time. And going back to the Dungy era, you know, with Sapp and Brooks at the forefront, that voluntary was in quotes. And I'll tell you why I say that. That was the big reason, the number one reason that Sapp didn't have a lot of respect for Keyshawn Johnson. It was the number one reason because Sapp vouched for him and helped in his own way to get him and make him a Buck. Mm-hmm. You know, to convince Rich McKay and Dungy to sign this guy for a lot of money. And all of a sudden, here come the OTAs, and there's no Keyshawn. And they call him up. He's in L.A. Keyshawn, well, where are you? I got some real estate I got to take care of. Man, I got business. And right then and there.
Sapp was furious.
Sapp was furious. And so this voluntary OTA, you got to put it in quotes. In one muck, at one buck place, you are expected to show up in May and June.
I don't know how many years removed from that, but when the NFL Network did their series, and they continue to do it on Super Bowl winners, the America's Game series, and it came to the Bucs segment, and that was highly covered. What you're talking
that
about?
That was Sapp, Lynch, and I forgot who the third guy.
Chucky.
Yes, Chucky. That's right.
That was well covered, this incident about Keyshawn not showing up for OTAs, and Sapp at that time, how many years removed, was incredulous, just outraged by it. Like, you know, this is what we do. This
culture.
Is buckball.
That's right. That's what we do.
At least 5 years later, and Sapp was annoyed, outraged by that. These guys were all retired, and he was still hacked
and
off.
And you know what? I think that you can't quantify it, Lee, but I think it was part of the Bucs' success over
you
that
argue
time
that,
when
yeah.
they were perennial, you know,
doormats.
A playoff team. No. I mean, back in the late 90s.
Okay.
That was the culture around here. Hey, we don't fool around. We're a family. We show up.
Sure.
And I think they're getting back to that. I do.
They're getting back.
Sounds like it.
In some ways. But you know what? In previous years, they've had 100% attendance for day one of OTAs. I believe last year included. I have to check my notes. But
you're setting me up here, Steve.
There was a lot of absenteeism today. But you know what? You don't need attendance in May to win games. You just don't. I mean, I understand the continuity and the teamwork framework, but let's be real. Just one note of fact. Our crack photographer, Davis Lauderdale, was looking up Brent Grimes' absence today, And it turns out it was his anniversary with Miko, and that was on Instagram. And Dirt Cutter referenced there was an anniversary, so it was Miko and Brent.
There's research right there.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Miko threw something up on Instagram. It was their wedding day, a picture of their wedding day. It was a very, very touching picture. It was a tender picture.
See, so, you're sitting here BSing, eating the donuts, and we're researching, Ira.
If I can't beat Miko on a tennis court, maybe I can beat Brent. You know, I don't care. I just want to beat a Grimes. I don't care who it is.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. you know, Steve was setting up here. You know, he's talking about, hey, the Bucks have had 100% attendance before, and they've been worst team in the league. You know, just garbage. So you got to look at that with a grain of salt. But talking about roster, what do you make of Dirk Cutter? You know, everybody's got all these expectations. People are talking playoffs. The stick carriers are talking playoffs. NFL Network's talking playoffs. It Girl Kay Adams is talking playoffs with the Bucks. And Dirk Cutter comes out today, first OTA. He's like, this is by far, direct quote, by far, end quote, the best roster the Bucks have had since he's been here.
He also said he was here in 2014. I think he got the year wrong.
He did get the year wrong.
He did get the year wrong. I wasn't going to correct the coach.
Yeah,
I was.
I mean, for Cutter to say, you know, they just missed the playoffs by one game, and he's saying this is by far, quote unquote, by far the best rosters. He's setting himself up.
Well, in a way, but he's also acknowledging reality. Mm-hmm. All three of us think that that's true. Look at the upgrades. Look at the offseason upgrades.
By far, though,
off of 9-17. Now he's only. This is only his, you know, third year.
Yeah, but still, the quote unquote by far that's significant.
We know the talent or lack thereof on the 2015 Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the year that Cutter's offense broke all kinds of franchise records.
Exactly.
Mostly, I think, because they had a really good running game that year.
Yeah, I mean, look, by far, it probably is. You know, and it should be. I mean, if they're going in the wrong direction since he got here, then, man, they're in big trouble.
When are we getting Doug Martin at the podium?
That ain't
going
to happen.
What's going on?
Did you ask?
What's going on there, Isbits? We'll get Evan Smith before we get.
You don't ask. You don't get. You don't ask. You don't get.
Evan Smith. We'll get that guy, the Colorado quarterback, before we'll get Doug Martin.
All right, Kaufman. Any parting words on your podcast here? As a one buck place, I know you have to be upstairs for some schnapps with Team Glazer.
You've been saying the bell's been ringing since about January 5th. But you know what? Now it's really true. I think we're 2 months away from training camp, Lee. It's 2 months,
to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
So you go.
Training camp's going to be a blast, guys. It's going to be a blast.
It'll be fun.
You got the kicking competition. You got the stick carriers coming out. It's going to be a training camp like Buck fans have never seen lot of regards. And Joe Buck's fan is going to be a big part of that.
More so than the Orlando days?
I think so. Because you got that stick carrier thing. The commissioner's going to be out here. He's going to be whipping people into a frenzy. Isbits is going to be walking by. There's going to be an acknowledgement of the Kemper, Isbits. They might even know me a little bit.
Are you going to take your shirt off and flex?
Rock Riley, he'll be out here.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a heck of a time.
So what you're saying is people in this section of Tampa, in Jesuit. At Jesuit High School, people will be hearing the echoes of Irv.
Absolutely.
Irv.
And by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. We had Prickly Pete Prisco out here. And that's you've dubbed them that.
Yeah. Well, thanks to you. You set me up for that.
Look, long time, and noted football analyst, CBS Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little conversation. He's a big Tony Boselli guy because he covered the Jaguars, mm-hmm. and he knows Boselli very well. And
for the Hall of Fame, you're talking for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mentioned Rondé Barber, and I get who's he?
Really?
Yeah, from Prickly Pete. And you couple that with the shocking thing I heard from a couple of guys that are on the Hall of Fame committee about Rondé, and I'm starting to get a little concerned over here, Steve. So that's a topic we'll be talking about throughout the summer.
Yeah, we'll explore that. Is Prickly Pete a Hall of Fame voter? He's not.
He is not a Hall of Fame voter,
but he has a voice.
But you know he
I understand that
he knows the tea leaves.
He could be a barometer for what other guys are thinking.
Real
I get
quick,
it.
Prickly Pete for people have read me and Steve. Refer to him as Prickly Pete Prisco on JoeBucksFan.com. The genesis of that was, I remember he was here one time, but there was some reference to Pete Prisco, and I walked up to you. You were sitting at your desk. I walked up to your desk, and I said, "Word association, Pete Prisco," and you kind of blinked a couple times and looked at me, and you said, prickly. And that's how he got his nickname.
I didn't know I was the originator of that term over there. Hey, and we haven't even talked about Pat Kerwin with Chris Conte. That'll be fodder for another podcast. But somebody could say something in Omaha, Nebraska, and DeKemper picks it up somehow on a radio station. Nothing gets past this man. It's really remarkable, Steve. You're lucky to have him. Give him a raise.
you're so silly, Ira. Okay.
What was your takeaway, my friend?
From today. We just talked about it for half an hour. I asked you for a final word. So you want my takeaway?
I just gave you. What's your final word?
Get out of here, Ira.